Welcome to Victory Family Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. For sermon notes and videos relating to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so very, very much. It's a great, great honor and joy and privilege. Thank you, Pastor John, of course, for your friendship through these years and your encouragement to me. And as your pastor mentioned, Heidi and I have a mission organization. We just go about the nations and we gossip the good news. We tell people that God loves you completely. And there's nothing you can do to change it. You can believe it, you can receive it, but you can't change the gospel truth that in Christ, God has done a perfect work. By the way, precious friends, I really enjoyed the worship tonight. You have a most phenomenal worship team. It's fantastic. Absolutely fantastic. And I love the songs that were selected because, you know, it's all about Jesus. It's all about the Lamb of God. But we're so delighted to be invited for your first Wednesday event this month, and I know many of you are hoping the service can be accelerated so you can be ready to watch the game from inning to on. How many believe that would be a good idea? I see that hand. But anyway, we'll put something in your heart tonight to give you a greater thrill than anything the Pirates can do for you, even though I'm hoping the Pirates can go all the way. But there's something about the love of the Father that's astonishing. And this is why we take this radically good news to the nations of the world and have done so for so many years. And I was talking with Pastor John and actually the Leadership Academy last night, how God sometimes interrupts your life with surprises. And this is what happened with our campus in the heart of Beirut, Lebanon. It was not on my wish list. It wasn't on something that I desired to do, but it was something God prompted me with after the events of 9/11. And God put a verse in my spirit, Isaiah 30, verse 25. It says, "There will be on every high mountain and every high hill rivers and streams of waters in the time of a great slaughter when the towers fall." And on that eventful day of 9/11, 2001, when the towers fell and there was a great slaughter, God stirred my spirit and said, "Keith, I want you to raise up a water delivery system in regions of rage. I want you to connect with people who are full of terror and rage and misunderstanding and bring information that becomes revelation to bring preservation to people in the Middle East." And so I just went to the Middle East, not really knowing what I was doing or who I was going to meet, but I was going to four different nations in the Middle East. One was Lebanon, and I had a little meeting with about 11 people at the Bible Society, and I shared my vision about Operation LifeCell. And it was a pattern God gave me from the scriptures on how to connect with people who are full of religious rage. People like Saul, who became Paul, and show people what Ananias connected and communicated, which the Bible outlines in Acts 22. God has chosen you. You can know his will. You can see Jesus. You can hear his voice. You can be his witness. Those five principles I call the principles of preservation is what God put in my spirit. So that night with about 11 people, I shared my heart, and one guy had interest in what I was bringing to the Middle East. And from that one guy became our team leader. You saw him on the little video tonight. His name is Saeed Deeb. And Heidi and I actually ministered to his father-in-law, his family, about 20 years previously in the Middle East, in the Mediterranean, on a Greek island with Arab and Jewish leaders that God gave us an opportunity to coordinate back in 1983. And so it was fascinating to me how seeds you can sow can bubble up later in your life, and now God does astonishing things. Anyway, we started there in the Middle East, and then this facility became available. So in 2009, with no money, I decided to act like I had money and purchase this building. And it's a too long of a story to tell you tonight, but we're delighted that today the building is debt-free to the glory of God. Isn't that wonderful? And it's paid in full in terms of all the build-out. But now, this video that you saw is a couple years old, but now it's really amazing what's happening there. Because of the challenges in Syria, and all the problems with ISIS in the region. And so the complications are more enormous than I can even describe. But I'm so excited that God's got us planted in that place. It's beautiful. Give the Lord a shout of praise. Can you do that? It's good news. So anyway, we're reaching out. So many Muslim Syrian refugees now, and the place is packed with Muslim people. And we share the love of the Father, what God did in Christ to rescue everyone, everywhere. And it's absolutely thrilling what's happened. In addition to feeding people, clothing people, and helping them, in this very next week, we're opening the Spring of Life School again for this school year. It runs a little different than here in the States, but it starts this next week, and we're going to have about 130 kids, most of them Syrian refugees. They're all broke. Nobody has money. We do it as a gift to people. It costs us about $50 or $60 a kid to pay for their schooling. They get the best meal you could ever imagine every day, and they learn English and French and Arabic. They're really sharp. I mean, it's amazing what God's doing in the midst. But that starts next week. And I just got an email from our team leader a couple days ago. We're believing that they can have a van, a school van, that they have a used van picked out. So we're going to try to get that for them as well by this school season. So anyway, God's good. But all over the world, we just want to bring thanks to you for being planted in this place. Thanks for being faithful to the local church and giving generously in your tithe and offering to your local church. I love the campus. My goodness, it's magnificent. You all are so blessed to be planted in this place. But what I like more is the message of what's here at Victory. I love the message of Jesus. I love the message of the finished work of the Lamb of God. I love what your pastor preaches. I love the songs you sing. And so you're blessed to be planted in this place. And so thank you for allowing Heidi and I to be an extension of your love and life in the nations as well. So what I'd like to do for a few moments tonight, so you can see from the second inning on, I would like to show you something that absolutely is going to make you happy. It's going to stir your spirit in a wonderful way. I always tell people I'm a simple gospel preacher. I'm not smart enough to be complicated. So you're in good company tonight. You're not going to misunderstand what I drop in your spirit, but I believe you'll remember it. I believe it'll mark your heart in such a way that this word is a living word. It will keep speaking to you. And so what I want to do tonight is give you a picture of heaven. I want to play a little video clip of heaven, but you're not going to see the video clip on the screen. You're going to see the video clip in your mind. You're going to have to use your imagination when I read the word. You know, heaven still is somewhat of a mystery to a degree. We know little bits about heaven, but it's hard to imagine what heaven is really like forever and ever. But I still want to go there. In fact, how many of you want to go to heaven? Anybody at all? About half of you. That's really wonderful. You know, we all want to go to heaven. I tell people I want to go to heaven. I just don't want to go tonight, you know. And I don't want to go tomorrow. And I don't want to go this week. Do you? I don't want to go next week. I want to go to heaven when I know my assignment's done in this earth. When Jesus has showed off through our lives and our bodies are exhausted. Thank God, absent from the body is present with the Lord. But I want to show you a little bit about heaven, because Jesus, when he taught us to pray, said we could pray that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want to show you something that's happening in heaven that will astonish you. It's so simple, it will excite you, but you can transfer it here to your personal life, even tonight and day by day as you walk with Jesus. And so I want to give you a little glimpse of heaven, and this is found in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 5, beginning in verse 9. By the way, when we speak of heaven, Revelation chapter 4 and Revelation chapter 5 give you imagery of heaven. Heaven is kind of bizarre. I mean, there's created beings, there's angelic beings, there's human beings, there's the elders, there's all kinds of imagery, but they're all around the throne of God. So now, when we play the video, I want you to use your imagination, what it's like, especially if you were there. Because they're beholding the throne of God, but they're looking at the Lamb of God. Their focus is on the Lamb. You know why? Because the love of the Lamb is astonishing. Do you know when Jesus went to Calvary's cross, which we sang so powerfully tonight about, do you know the love of God influences everything? The Bible says that Jesus Christ has reconciled things in heaven, things in the earth, and things under the earth. Now, I don't know how to explain that to anybody. It's a mystery to me, but it's beautifully powerful. So as they're surrounding the throne of God, they're beholding the Lamb of God. Now, let's click the video. Now we're rolling. Think with me. Verse 9, the Bible says they were singing a new song, saying, you, speaking of Jesus, Jesus, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. Speaking of the cross, you were slain and you have redeemed us to God by your blood. Out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation. Let's hit the pause button now on the video. Think with me. What will it be like on that day when you and I are there? You're surrounding the throne of God, and all the focus is the Lamb of God. People in heaven are still astonished at what radical love actually does. And from the heavenly perspective, it influences everyone everywhere. This is why, to me, this is very much a mission message, because I'm a mission guy. It's for people from every nation, every tribe, every tongue, and every kindred. Jesus has purchased us all, and it's a done deal. It's a done deal for everyone, everywhere. Somebody needs to know to announce the news, what Jesus has done, so people can move out of the identification of themselves to himself. You know, we live in a merit-based world, don't we? Everything in our Western culture is based on your effort. The American dream is based on your effort. If you work hard, if you play by the rules, then you can get ahead. How many know that's not the full truth? Because there are systems that be, whether it's governmental or business or whatever, that people still can't get ahead playing by the rules in working hard. But everything in our society is merit-based. And there's nothing wrong with merit-based societies. It's good because we're living on this level one with another. But in God's kingdom, in our relationship with the Father, our relationship with God isn't based on us. Our relationship with God is based on Jesus. Do you know the new covenant, technically speaking, is not between God and you? Technically speaking, the new covenant is between God and Jesus. There's no weak link. See, before, the old covenant was based on your personal performance to the law to find a righteous position before God, and that was a tough deal, because personal performance never seemed to get the job done. So Jesus came, the only one who could personally perform, and change the game. He said, I'm going to establish a new covenant with my blood, and I'm going to be the priest in a whole new system that's not based on you, but based on me. It's not going to be based on merit. It's going to be based on grace. And the grace of God, the unmerited work of one, the obedience of one, Jesus Christ, has purchased everyone everywhere. It's a once and for all redemption. Now think about this with me. If in heaven they're still astonished about this, why do you think that is? Because it just is going to take some time for it to sink in. Do you know the Bible says in the book of Ephesians that in the ages to come, God is going to make known to us the manifold riches of his grace. Do you know we just understand the love of the Father and the grace of God just enough to move us? But it's going to take ages for God to reveal the fullness of the love of God in Christ, because it is so astonishing. And so merit-based minded people always think of themselves in the equation before the Father, and that's why it's a frustrating thought. They're always trying to qualify to be good enough to be accepted, to be loved, to be blessed. But if you change your thinking and move from yourself to himself, see, that's what faith does. Faith delivers you from you. And it delivers you from the need of self-righteousness to a righteousness which is by faith, where Jesus is your righteousness before the Father. Jesus is your holiness before the Father. Jesus is your redemption. Jesus actually is your everything. And so the joy of sharing the gospel, for example, in the Middle East, to a place full of Muslim people, Syrian Muslims, struggling with all kinds of chaos in their communities and region, is not to go in front of them and tell them what's wrong with them. That doesn't get you anywhere. I like to tell people what's right about them. I like to announce to people what Jesus has done to pre-approve them eternally before the Father. And this is why I love to tell people the good news of redeeming love, because it's astonishing. It makes no sense to the human mind. And this is what's so beautiful, because it grips you deep in your spirit and it moves you and it gives you the capacity to believe in the one who saves. And this is the beauty of God's great love for you. So you and I have been redeemed. You know that verse in Revelation chapter 5, 9? It says, and you have redeemed us to God. Redeemed is an old English word, which means to purchase. I noticed in the song we sang tonight, they used both the words. I loved it. But purchase was in there as well. You know, we don't use redeem. It means to buy. We don't use that term very much in our culture. Heidi went to the little store today at the Cranberry Mall or something and bought a little top at the store. She didn't come out and say, I redeemed an outfit today. She said, I purchased it. I purchased it. We understand the term purchase, so some of the newer translations use that, that Jesus Christ has purchased us to God. But you know, the problem even with the term purchase in our culture is our culture in a merit-based world never fully pays for things. We purchase things, but we still have payments on our mind. For example, do you know right now I like the auto dealerships around the area here, and I was driving by some. I like the ads they have now on TV for new vehicles. You can get a new truck with no money down, no interest, and you pay for 72 months. That's 6 years. That's a long payment plan. But that's how people get into something. Let's pretend tonight, just for sake of illustration, that I drove up onto your beautiful campus and you all saw me get out of this brand new truck that was absolutely loaded. And some of the people said, wow, Keith, that's a nice truck. And I said, I just purchased it. Now, your thoughts most probably would be, wow, Keith's loaded. He's a well-to-do missionary. I bet he paid cash for it. That's what people think, right? We try to imagine how something could be done. So while I'm preaching, your mind could be absolutely cluttered with my new truck that I purchased. And you're thinking, wow, Keith's rich. Look at, he seems to have. He purchased something. While you're thinking how good I have it, I could be preaching to you and thinking, my goodness, this is the first of the month. What's the first of the month mean to people? Payments. Payments are due. See, a lot of people purchase things, but payment is always on their mind. See, merit-minded Christians always conduct their relationship with God based on personal payment, because they believe Jesus saves, but it's still up to them for their security. Because, you know, if I didn't make monthly payments on my truck, somebody would come and repossess my truck. So people always make sure they're paying, because they really don't know if it's theirs. I want you to know tonight what Jesus did, and what heaven is astonished with is that we've been paid in full. And it's a done deal, and you just have to step in by faith and receive the beauty of what Jesus has done. Our idea of purchase is ongoing payments. And most people never really own anything that's a big purchase. They keep trading in vehicles. I've got friends, they trade them in every year. And they say, Keith, I got a really good thing. I got this for only $10 a month more than I was paying. They have payments on their mind. There's a lot of people in our culture, and that's the way we make our systems work in a merit-based world, with a payment on your mind. The kingdom of God doesn't work well with payments on your mind. You are free and clear. Jesus purchased you. Jesus purchased you once and for all. And whether you know it or not, or whether you believe it or not, or whether you like it or not, God loves you completely. And there's no disappointment in the Father concerning you, because you're standing before Him is not you. You're standing before Him is the Lamb of God. And this is the beauty to me of the gospel. And this is why the gospel is such amazingly good news. It's like, you've got to be kidding me. It's astonishing. It's not that you use your faith to get in and then use your works to stay in. You're in because of what Jesus has done. It is a done deal. There's no more add-ons. There's no more upsells. There's no more payments. You're good to God because of what Jesus has done. And this is the good news. And this is the demonstration of love. See, love is demonstrated at the cross. And that's why you're safe in the death of Jesus. It's absolutely beautiful. In his death and in his risenness, you are secured. All you have to do is enjoy the radical love of the Father. That's the good news. You are paid in full in relation to the reality of your redeemed innocence before God. Jesus has got you everything. Jesus is your righteousness. Jesus is your peace. Jesus is your joy. Jesus is your sanctification. Jesus is your contentment. Jesus is your provision. Jesus is your fulfillment. Jesus is your life. And that's why we can behold the glory of the Lamb of God. And this is why heaven, the people there are still intoxicated with a radical love of the Father. It's like, you got to be kidding me. That the Lamb of God is commanding all the attention of heaven. It's astounding. See, merit-minded religions and even Christendom in some mindsets, merit-minded religion always wants you to do more. Religion makes you pay. Religion makes you pay with condemnation. Religion makes you pay with guilt. Religion makes you pay with shame. Religion tells you to do it more and do it harder and do it better. It's do this, it's do that, it's do-do. It's do-do. It's... Merit-minded believers put you in a place where you're always in the equation based on yourself and your flesh. But Jesus gives you a whole different thing. You know, to use the phrase do-do, I know it may sound a little funny, but it's really true. Paul the apostle, who had a really pretty good family tree according to him, what tribe he was from, and the way he could perform according to the law, he said he was blameless. But he added up his family tree. I don't know about your family tree. Mine has weaknesses. I come from a long line of losers. And we're the kind of people God chooses. God chooses the losers in life, the loonies. How many are in? Hallelujah. I'm in. Praise the Lord. God chooses the loonies and the losers, and he confounds the world because we're astonished with the love of God that our standing before the Father is not us, it's Jesus. And faith put me there. It's a wonderful thing, but Paul said, I count all this that was of value in my flesh as doo-doo. He used the term dung in the King James Version. In some of the newer translations, it gets a little more crispy what he says. But anyway, it's the idea, it's doo-doo. But people will always, in fact, your own mind will put on these restrictions to you to make payments. I want you to know, precious friend, you are paid in full. I have a friend. I preach around America, different churches, friends, partner churches through the years. And a lot of them, you know, every year and different things, or every year and a half or something. There's one church I go to. There's this precious lady. Every time I'm there, every year or so, she always wants me to pray for her afterwards, which I love to do. I love to be with the people and shake hands and say hi and these kind of things. But she tells me about all the problems of her husband, her physical ailments, her kids, her grandkids. She goes through the whole list. And I say, let's give it to Jesus. The love of the Lamb has got you, my friend. And so I take it all and I pray for her right then in Jesus' name. Amen. As soon as I'm finished with the prayer, she grabs my arm and squeezes it and says, oh, please, pray harder. Pray harder. Pray harder. See, that's a religious mind that thinks it's up to you. Listen, everything that you and I need has been granted in Christ Jesus, and we can enter this realm of rest and just really enjoy that when we put the name of the Lord Jesus on something, it's done. You don't have to sweat it out. You don't have to spit it out. You don't have to worry about nothing. You can declare that the work of the one is enough. You don't have to have payments on your mind. Do you know how many people go to bed in America and put their head on the pillow and say, oh, I didn't read enough today, I didn't pray enough today, I didn't do enough today, I didn't whatever enough today, then they think, I wonder if I'm even saved. You know, people aren't secure because they still have payments on their mind. I want you to know from heaven's perspective that Jesus is the Savior from start to finish. And all you and I need to do is cooperate and step into the radical love of God in Christ. You are purchased, and it's a done deal for everyone everywhere. How do you know I'm telling you the truth? Because I'm just a guest preacher. I'm just driving in and preaching and driving out. How do you know I'm telling you the truth? I'm glad you asked. Let me show you three things very simply that will mark your heart and give you a thrill so you can transfer the beauty of what's happening in heaven to your own life. And you're going to find it so simple, there's no religious activity attached to it. You don't even have to get religious to do what I'm going to preach to you. You're just going to have authentic believing moments which astonish you. How do you know I'm telling you the truth? I'm glad you asked. Number one, how do you know you've been purchased? Number one, God has signed for you. You know how when you get a package these days from UPS or FedEx or a delivery carrier, you know, you got to give a signature many times. I was walking out of Life Center USA, which is a campus that's reflective of what we do in Beirut, Lebanon. We just purchased it in America about 20 months ago. And it's really, really neat in Los Angeles, and it's a whole story on its own. But we wanted to have an environment in America, so the older I get, I like to teach younger people on missions and evangelism. So God put this thing together, which was a supernatural thing, and we're excited about it. But I remember coming out the front entrance, the administrative entrance, and there was one of these delivery trucks, and they had all these boxes out on the sidewalk, and it's a very, very, very busy intersection, the most busy intersection in the whole area. So the guy says, hey, where do I deliver all this stuff? I said, sir, there's a back alley, and all deliveries go to the back alley. But since you have everything out, it's okay. Let's take it through these doors into the gymnasium. And I said, I'll even help you carry this stuff in. He said, you would help? I said, sure. I got nothing better to do. So he had a dolly, and he loaded things up, and I started carrying stuff in. We got it all in. As soon as we got it in, he gave me an electronic pad. And he said, would you sign for them? I said, sure. So you take your finger, you know, it's like the finger of God, and you sign your name, and nobody can read my signature. It's a mess. So he looks at it and he says, what is your name? I said, Hershey, like the Hershey bar. And he typed in Hershey, and he said, Mr. Hershey, these are out of my hands. They're now in your hands. He said, I'll see you later. I said, adios. Do you know what? When God signed for you, he took authority. He took you. You are in the hands of God. Do you believe that God cares more for you than you care for yourself? Do you think God cares for your kids or grandkids more than you care for your kids or grandkids? Do you think God cares for your well-being as much as the sparrows? Do you really believe you're in the hands of God, or are you living based on yourself and your own initiative and your own capacities? What a lonely existence. I know I did it for 1,000 years. Nothing but fear-filled thoughts. But thank God I can just lift my hands in the morning and in the night and say, Jesus, you got me. You signed for me, and he signed for me with the blood of the Lamb. Look at the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. The Bible says, knowing that you were not redeemed or purchased with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Notice that every verse I read you tonight is going to have a reference in it to the cross. You know, if the cross isn't in your equation for every decision, you will live confused. And you'll never have a proper conclusion to to the questions you ask. The cross must be there to interpret every part of your life and every part of your world. We've been purchased by the blood of Jesus. Notice, not with gold and silver, which are merit-based living currencies. We don't use man-made stuff in this relationship. You know, the currency of the kingdom actually is not even your faith. The currency of the kingdom is the blood. You know, your faith allows you to enjoy what the blood did, but the blood did the work. God signed for you with the blood of Jesus Christ. And that, to me, is good news. Number two, how do you know that you're purchased and it's a done deal? Number one, God signed for you. Number two, God has sealed you. You are signed and you're sealed. You know, a seal is like a king's stamp of approval. You know, we all like to be liked, don't we? When you open up Facebook or Twitter or something, you like when somebody endorses something you say or a picture you post. We like to be liked. I remember when I started in ministry, Heidi and I were married. 6 months after we were married, we moved overseas. This was 1983, the month of June. Young, didn't have a clue what we were up to. Working in the Middle East with Arab and Jewish leaders, I was young. Didn't know what was happening, but God stirred in my spirit that whole year about this concept called mutual faith. And finally, I had enough nerve the next year to resign, come back to America, broke. And I bought an old car for $3,600, and I drove around America for 6 months. And I said, Lord, touch the heart of somebody. Let them see I'm carrying something. And let them draw it out of me. You know what I loved in those days? I loved when I'd meet a pastor who liked me. It was like a miracle. And you know what I would really like after I'd preach or teach for somebody? They would recommend me. I liked recommendations. And I still like to be liked. I still like recommendations. But now, I want you to know the only recommendation, the only approval I'm really after is what God gives me in Christ. God signed for me and God sealed me with himself. The Bible teaches that we're sealed with the Spirit of promise or the Spirit of grace. Look at what it says in Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 13, it says, in whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed, see, you need preachers to proclaim it, and people need to believe it, they need to receive it, but having believed, you were sealed with the Spirit of promise. You know, part of the mystery of the love of the Lamb in focusing that the blood signed for me, but also God sealed me with himself. Do you know when God gives you his Spirit, the Spirit doesn't come to go. The Spirit comes to stay. Amen. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you, even in your point of frailty, even when you're in a grumpy mood. Now, you might make it hard for the Spirit to express himself and give liberty, but the Spirit of Christ is in you. You are signed and you're sealed. Greater is he who's in you than he who is in the world. You are signed. You are sealed. Number three, you are delivered. Remember that old Motown song, signed, sealed, delivered, I'm yours, huh? That's kind of like a Stevie Wonder song or something. You can tell I can't sing it very well. But see, that becomes a confession of faith. When you have your mind on the Lamb of God, when you're astonished like they are in heaven, you can recognize that the one who paid the price signed for you. I'm signed, I am sealed, I'm delivered, I'm yours. I belong to Jesus. I announce it because it puts my mind on the Lamb of God, and it is the gospel truth concerning me. You are delivered. You know, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, it says, grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. What's that a reference to? The cross. Remember, every verse I'm giving you has a reference to the cross, because that's where love is demonstrated and that's where the deal was done. He gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. Friend, you know that God's will for you is for you to be delivered. A lot of times people are asking, what's God's will for me? Well, a lot of God's will is really readily known. God's will here is that you know that you're delivered from this present evil age. This world has gone nuts. I mean, this world, not just the United States and the things happening here and legislated here and allowed here and all this, but all over the world, it's a wicked world. It's a wild, wicked world, but we're delivered from it. We're delivered from its influences. We're in this world, but we're not of it. And we have to understand, you don't have to yield yourself to the system. You don't have to yield yourself to the devilish ways. You don't have to yield your flesh to what the world craves, or even what your flesh craves. You can know that you are delivered, and you don't have to look for your deliverance. You just have to release it. You possess it in Christ. You are delivered from this present evil age. The Bible teaches you're also delivered from the powers of darkness. You always have illumination. You always have access to revelation. You're delivered from sin, the Bible says in Romans chapter 6. You don't have to yield yourself to none of it. You have victory if you're focused on the Lamb of God. You are purchased. It's a done deal. God signed you. God sealed you. And God delivered you. You say, Keith, well, how's that really help me? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look at Paul tells believers in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20. Paul says to the believers, he says, for now you have been bought or purchased at a price. You're purchased. You got to anchor that in your soul, and not with any payments attached to it. Not, yeah, I'm purchased, but it's also up to me. No, it's purchased and it's a done deal. Paul said you were bought or purchased at a price. Therefore, what's that word therefore? The previous statement. Therefore, glorify God in your body, which is your flesh life, and in your spirit, which is your spiritual life, which are God's. Do you know how you change the way you live? It's not trying to qualify. The way you change your live. The way you live is by knowing that you've been pre-approved. And this is the beautiful thing about thinking and renewing our minds to the reality of redemption. What God did in Christ, if you can believe you're purchased, you're equipped with His life to live in your flesh life, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, and in your spiritual life, where you give the Father praise, where you give the Father love. This is why, for myself, I find it so thrilling to change the little things in my life that periodically creep up and need changing. You know, I still am well acquainted that I'm housed in flesh. And sometimes my flesh doesn't cooperate with my redeemed spirit. It goes on strike. It wants to be grumpy. It wants to be angry. It wants to release judgment. It wants to say things it shouldn't say. But I know none of you are like this because you're at a victory church. Hallelujah. But guys like me are well acquainted of my constant need. Do you know how I fix myself when I'm grumpy? Do you know how I fix myself when I've sinned in the flesh? You know, the Bible says, if you do something that's not of faith, it's sin. What a bummer that is. Man, unbelief visits me periodically. You know, the Bible says if you know to do good and don't do it, it's sin. What a bummer. You know, that happens periodically with me. So the way I fix me in these littler areas of life, and even the bigger areas of life, is to always focus on the Lamb. Be astonished with the cross that even in my weakness, He still got me. Even in my unfaithfulness, so to speak, He's still faithful. And there's no more payments required. It's an amazing, beautiful, wonderful thing. People always come up and say, well, what about this and what about that? I want you to know that the finished work of Jesus is a finished work. And there's no ands, no ifs, and no buts about it. It's a done deal. And this is what's so beautiful. That's why you have to linger. Think about it. If they're still lingering at heaven over the astonishment of the cross in Jesus, why not we linger here? This is why I like to take communion. Wow. We're astonished with the love of the Lamb. I take communion all the time. We take it in our house. Every time I'm harassed with fear, I behold the Lamb of God who's got me. I take it when I'm flying. I take it wherever I am around the world in my own house. I take the bread. It's the body of Jesus. I take the cup and I drink it straight up. I don't mix none of myself with it. I mix no payments with it. I drink it straight up. I tell people you might as well eat, drink, and be merry. Hallelujah. You might as well rejoice because Jesus has got you. If you believe that, give the Lord a shout, somebody. Hallelujah. It's good news. How do you respond? How do you think they responded in heaven? Let's look at the video clip again. Now you got to use your imagination. Let's hit the play button. This is the same chapter, Revelation chapter 5, just a few verses later. The last verse of chapter 5, it's verse 14. Now think about it. We're all around the throne of God saying, you got to be kidding me. I'm actually here. I made it. It's a miracle. I'm here. You ever think your flesh would cry something out like that? Mine would. Got to be kidding me. It's all the Lamb of God, and you're astonished at the love of God in Christ, and you're saying worthy and holy, and you eventually run out of things. What are you going to say anyway? What are you going to say on that day? How long can you announce hallelujahs over the Lamb of God? How many eternities can you say that? I'll just be honest with you. I'm not a very verbal person. I'm shy, introverted, really. People hear me speak and think I have some gift or something. I don't. God has used the weakness in my life to proclaim his love. I'm not good with words. I'm not good with conversation. I'm not even good at praying. And I'm in the ministry. People say, Keith, how many hours a day you pray? I say, what was that? You know, you want to make yourself sound like you're really something. I'm nothing. But Jesus got me. I like what Wigglesworth said years ago. He said, I very seldom ever pray 15 minutes, but I very seldom go 15 minutes without praying. In other words, there's communion. There's conversation. There's chit-chat. I remember in the old days when they had the, you know, could you not tarry an hour prayer things. And in California, they had it at 5 a.m. What a bummer. Anyway, to be a man pleaser, because I was in the ministry, to be a man pleaser, I did it when I was in town. And I would beat myself all the way there. Keith, you're a hypocrite. And I would answer myself back, I know it. Anyway, I would get to the church and, you know, I'd pray all my confessions. I'd pray the New Testament prayers. I'd pray for the nations, all of our teams around the world. I'd pray for our partners. Then I'd pray in the Spirit. And some days, man, God would like equip it. And it was like beautiful. Wow. I lasted an hour. It's a miracle, you know. But then some days I prayed everything I knew. And I even prayed in the Spirit. And I looked at my watch. And 5 minutes passed. Have you ever had moments like that? What I'm trying to say is, what are you going to say in heaven? You know, I know a lot of people, they're like me, they don't have a lot to say. And they feel bad that they don't have something to say. I've got something from a heavenly template that's going to put a smile on your face. It's going to absolutely thrill you. Let's read it. Revelation chapter 5, verse 14. This is after they say all these things. The Bible says, then the four and living creatures said, amen. Let me hear God's people say amen. Amen. Now say it like you mean it. Say amen. Amen. You know what amen means? Cool. Cool. So be it. Let it happen to me. Let it be real for me. You know, amen is enough. I call it a believing moment. You don't need a lot. You don't have to dress yourself up. You don't have to play a part. You don't have to bring a payment. You just have to be astonished that you're good to God because of the Lamb. You got to be kidding me. You know the conclusion in heaven on this day or on that day? It says they said amen. And then it says after they said amen, the 24 elders, they fell down. They fell down. It must have been like a charismatic service. I don't know if they fell by the Spirit of grace or I don't know if they just laid down. But they sat down. They lay down. You know what to me that is? It's a picture of rest. There's nothing else to do. There's nothing else to qualify for. It's just to be astonished with this kind of radical love. I think the greatest thing a believer can do is to be loved. I give no attention to loving God on my own. The only attention I give the Father is being loved. And you know what I do then on my own is I love in return. I love Him because He first loved me. I have to be astonished. And then my heart is moved. Be loved every day. You are accepted in the beloved place. You don't have to be out here trying to qualify. You're pre-approved in the beloved place. The 24 elders fell down. They worshiped Him. Who lives forever and ever. You know, my favorite place to pray now is wherever I can lay down. You know what I do at night when I wake up and I have a fear-filled thought? I behold the Lamb. And I say, amen. Nothing more and nothing less. And amen is enough. I'm preaching good now. I'm crying better than I'm preaching, but I'm still preaching good. Amen is enough. You know what I love to do is sit under a tree. Sit in my car and gaze over the beauty of nature. Lay on a hammock late at night and say, you got to be kidding me. You love me as I am. And you accept me as I am. It's astonishing. Because I'm pretty acquainted with me. And you're acquainted with you. And we're frail in our humanity, but Jesus has us covered. You are purchased. It's a done deal. So you might as well have a believing moment and just say amen to it. You might as well get yourself off that treadmill of always trying harder and doing more and making payments and just yield yourself into the love of God and then labor more abundantly by the grace of God. I do more in my life now than I've ever done, and I'm not trying to do nothing. I've never been more busy in my life, open doors, favored, doing things, even the whole Middle East stuff. It's crazy. People say, Keith, do you know what you're doing? Absolutely not. It's the beauty of the love of God. God put you in a mess to bring a message that you're good to God because of the Lamb. Believe it. Earlier this year, there was a great songwriter who died named Andre Crouch. Andre Crouch's church was a minute and a half from our Life Center USA, a facility we just bought in Los Angeles. When he died earlier in the year, I drove by his church and they had a little sign, you know, congratulations, Andre, home going or something like that. So I remembered growing up in Michigan, because I'm just a little farm boy from Michigan, lived in a town of 1,000 people. I live 5 miles outside the town. My dad's a bricklayer. I'm one of 5 kids. When I was young, I raised pigs, and then Jesus set me free. Anyway, got me out of the hog business. Anyway, but he called a simple guy who couldn't speak, who had no confidence in anything, to proclaim redeeming love, to proclaim the work of another, and quit piling on people to qualify. You're pre-approved. Come as you are. Be astonished. And just do what they do, and just behold, just gaze. And if you look long enough, you're going to be transformed into the very image you're looking at. But just hang out and gaze. Behold the Lamb. But Andre Crouch, back in the late 60s, I used to have a record of his in the old farmhouse, and I remember some of his songs. So when he passed, I searched on the internet some of his songs and was singing some of his songs. He wrote songs like through it all, I learned to trust in Jesus. I learned to trust in God. Through it all, I learned to depend on his word. He wrote songs like, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Without him, there's no other Jesus. He's the way. He wrote songs like, my tribute to God be the glory, to God be the glory, to God be the glory for the things he hath done. He wrote songs like, I don't know why Jesus loved me. I don't know why he cared. I still don't know why Jesus loves me. It's astonishing. Because sometimes I don't even know how to love myself. That's why you can't know yourself according to the flesh. You know yourself according to Christ. See, if you know yourself according to the flesh, you'll never enjoy your own company. You know yourself according to the cross. And that's the way you know one another. You see them in the redeemed innocence. What Jesus has done for them, and announce the news so they can believe it. He wrote songs like, the blood will never lose its power. It reaches to the highest mountain. It flows to the lowest valley. The blood that gives me strength. Many wonderful songs he wrote. But then I noticed on the internet, he wrote a song called Let the Church Say Amen. What I'm teaching you tonight is exactly what they're doing in heaven. They can't explain the mystery of the love of God, but they're astonished by it, and they lay down and say it's good enough and just say amen to it. So Andre wrote this song, Let the Church Say Amen, Let the Church Say Amen, for God has spoken. Let the church say amen. You know, sometimes when I hear people preach, I don't have a clue how to explain what they say, but it stirs my spirit. Like hearing somebody teach on angels or something, like, woo, you know? It's amazing to me, and I don't even know how to explain to people what I heard, but my spirit is so stirred. You know what I do? I just say amen. Thank God they're working on my behalf. I want you to know, friend, that you've come to a place in life where you can just say amen, and amen is enough. This is our response to the mystery of radical love. This is our response to the cross. This is the response to the mystery of God's love and acceptance of us, that we've been purchased by God. We just say amen. You know what merit-based minded people want you to say? Just do it. They like the Nike slogan. It's based on your effort and your sufficiency. I'd rather live in his effort and his sufficiency. And let every bit of my effort be a response from the position I have in Christ. Just do it, they say. But in Christ, you just say amen. You just say amen to the radical love of God in Christ. Francis Crosby wrote that great song, Blessed Assurance. Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased, purchased of God, born of his spirit and washed in his blood. This is my story, and I'm sticking to it. I'm sticking to it. I'm signed, I'm sealed, I'm delivered, I'm purchased, and so are you. If you think that's good news, give the Lord some praise. Can you do that tonight? Praise the Lord! Hallelujah! Well, do we have a score update of the game yet tonight? Anybody knows when? Put your hands on your heart, friend. Let me pray for you. Father, these are your kids. Lord God, tonight, I so appreciate these precious ones who would come out on a midweek and fight traffic and fight schedules just to give you an hour and 25 minutes of their time. Father, I ask that right now that you do something so distinctively simple in each of our lives where we can accept the truth of the fact that we are purchased by God, that we've been signed for, we've been sealed, and we have been delivered. Father, I ask even now that you give people amen moments. Father, I ask that you deliver people from their identity in themselves and let them shift their identity to himself. Jesus, you pre-approved every person in this place. So let the ones who are here, who are considered outsiders, let them come to be insiders. Let them move in Christ tonight, I pray. Just take a moment, just with a personal amen about your life, your world, your family, your wife, your husband, your kids, everything. Just let Jesus be your everything tonight. And while your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed and you're making that kind of just fresh devotion of thanksgiving that you're paid in full, maybe there's people here tonight and you say, Keith, man, I'm an outsider. I don't know if I've ever really trusted Jesus. I don't know if I've ever been born again. Friend, the Bible says if you will feed on Jesus, you will live because of Jesus. Jesus said, if you feed on my flesh and drink of my blood, speaking of communion, you have everlasting life. Jesus said, if you will just call on the name of the Lord, you will be saved. You'll be saved. Think about that. You'll move from an identification of yourself to himself. You'll receive a brand new nature. And the Bible teaches you'll be a new creation in Christ Jesus. If you're here tonight with all our heads bowed and our eyes closed and you say, Keith, I want you to pray for me. I want to have an amen moment and give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to be a Christian. I want to be born again. I want to have a moment tonight where we pray, where I trust Jesus to be my Savior. If you'd like to make that decision tonight on the count of three, I want you to be real bold now. And I want you to raise your hand. Jesus said, if you acknowledge me before men, I'm going to acknowledge you before heaven. I'm not going to call you forward. I'm going to leave you at your seat. It can be a private thing between you and the Lord, but I just want to know who I'm praying for. So if you'd like to make this transaction, so to speak, and put your faith in Jesus Christ, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand to yield your heart and life to Jesus Christ. One, two, three. Would you raise your hand for that prayer all over this auditorium? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Praise the Lord. There's several. Hallelujah. Everybody put your hands on your heart. And just let's say all this together if we can. Say, thank you, Jesus. I receive your love. I've been purchased by God. It is a done deal. Jesus did all the work from start to finish. I put my faith in Jesus Christ. I confess my sins and I say, Jesus is Lord. Thank you, Father, for your great love, your great acceptance of me. My sins have been forgiven. My sins have been forgotten by God, and I'm in the Father's family. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Help me to behold you. Help me to put your word to work in my life. And thank you for bringing transformation in me. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a shout of praise for that. Can you do that? Praise the Lord. Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray you were blessed by God's word. For additional teachings, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.